podcast you're about to listen to is explicit. It's dirty. I'm gonna say butthole. So let's have a little time, just us, me and you. Put your earbuds in and let's go.
All of my life, I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this is episode 80 of the podcast. I don't know about you, but this has been a hard week. The things going on with our government are atrocious. And rather than be bedridden because I can't deal with the way the world is working right now, one of the ways that I cope with things is I have a planner. And I like to sit down and write down the good things that happened that week. And I use a passion planner, if you like paper planners. And it has a spot right in there that says good things that happened this week. It's kind of helped me focus on the positive. And I want to tell you a couple of the ones I wrote this week. Five things I'm grateful for in no particular order. One of them is this iTunes review. And it says, "This podcast is a life changer for me. It helped me to realize the beauty and validity of my sexuality, empowered me for radical life changes, and still remains one of the most intense power sources for me." Thank you, Dixie. Thank you, person who wrote that podcast review. That gets me out of bed. Stuff like that, knowing what people think, makes such a huge difference to me. Thank you. And then I had body this past Thursday, and a couple walked up to me, and they told me that they had driven from Las Vegas just to come to that show that night. Now think about this. Our show is on a weeknight. So these people not only drove for 10 hours, they took a couple days off work. It's June. Driving from Las Vegas is kind of daunting. And I was just so thrilled to see them there in person. She says she feels less ashamed of who she is and more empowered because of Body's podcast. Why did I fight podcasting so hard? Then I get to have late night burritos with Shirley Gnome after she performed at Body's Best Fiend show this week. And it was really great to have her fly in all the way from Vancouver, Canada to eat a burrito and kind of catch up. We only get to do that a few times a year when she performs at my show. You know, I told you how last week, this is number four, by the way. You know, I told you GQ Magazine listed us as a best of podcast from GQ Magazine. They've never even noticed us before, and now we're on their best of for sex podcast. We were also voted one of the best adult industry podcasts this week. We're winning a lot of best ofs. See, podcasting, I told you. I should have done it a long time ago. Yesterday, I was out running some errands, and I walked out of the Salvation Army on Valencia Street in San Francisco when somebody stopped me and said, "You're Dixie De La Tour." I'm like, "Yeah." And they said, "Holy shit, thank you for the work you do in the world. Thank you for body storytelling. It's such a gift." Can you imagine your life looking like that? I never thought my life would look like this. And some days I just want to lay in bed and zone out on Netflix and not try. And I'm just one person. But all these people are telling me that me, just one person, is making a difference. I know that what's going on in the world is hard right now, but I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. You can make a change too, whatever it is, whether it's fighting the government or telling somebody who they are is okay, or invite them out to do something.
lifting a helping hand to somebody else makes your life better. It really does. Let's get to the part of the job I'm supposed to be doing.
Are you ready for this week's story? I need to tell you the story behind this story because so many people ask me about the process of people getting on stage at Body. They wonder if these people just went to this intensely emotional and vulnerable place on their own. Were they born with that ability, or do we find it together? And it's the latter, y'all. This storyteller came to our April show in San Francisco, and it was her first body storytelling ever. And when I announced that for my birthday in May, the theme was going to be Unicorn Fest, and I will admit to you, I made it that theme because Rachel Lark has a song called The Unicorn Song, and I love it. But also, I wanted to know if such a thing exists. I mean, unicorns are, you know, one way to describe a unicorn is the single female who hooks up with men, women, and couples. And does that really exist? I mean, they're called unicorns for a reason. So I put out a call, said if you identify as a unicorn, I'd love to have your story. And I got a pitch. And the pitch was pretty much, you know that thing in your sock drawer that is the list of all the people you've slept with? Well, I keep it in my sock drawer. You've probably done it on Google spreadsheets because you're smarter than I am. But it's kind of a list of all the people that you've slept with. In her case, it was a list of all the couples she'd slept with. And that was pretty much her story. It was a list of names and not a lot of details, except for an occasional, and they were hot. And I got on Zoom with her because I do story coaching on Zoom with my performers so that I can see their face and explain to them what's going on. And I told her what we really needed was not the litany of 25 or more couples to fill out the 10 minutes she was going to spend on stage. What we really needed was kind of like the evolution of being a unicorn, emotionally what she cares about, why she tells this story. And I could see that her face was falling because that's a lot harder than it sounds. You have to take not just all your crazy sexual antics, but you have to talk about what you care about, what you're afraid of. You have to get on stage in front of hundreds of people and you have to get real. And from the look on her face, I knew that she was probably going to back out. And finally, after a pause, she looked at me and she said, "Can't I just be sexy?" And I said, "No. That's not what we do at Body." I waited the next morning to get the email that said, "I quit. This doesn't sound nearly as fun as I thought it was going to be." Instead, I got a brand new pitch. And attached to it was the message, "Coach, I'm going to make you proud." And this whole new aspect of the story came out. Something I never expected. Something that hadn't been in any of the two or three earlier coachings that we'd done together. And she floored me. She was so great. This was her first time getting on stage. She looked amazing up there in her red dress. And yes, unicorns do exist. This story is from Ginger Cox.
Okay, so it's 3 a.m. and I'm in Lawrence, Kansas, and I'm at Karen and Butch's doorstep, and I'm excited and horny, and Karen grabs me by the hand and leads me back to their bedroom, and Butch says to me, "It's your turn to be the director of our sex scene." I'm like, okay. So I tell them to take off their clothes and kiss me. And then I instruct her to sit on his cock, and I sit on his face. And as she's writing him, I get really excited, and I get off, and I start masturbating as I'm watching them. And then we all come, and Butch looks at me, and he says, "So you called us at 3 a.m. in the morning to watch us fuck?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, I did. later when I learned that when Butch is the director, everybody gets dick. So my sexual exploitation started when I was 16 and had this friend named Kim that looked kind of like Marilyn Monroe, and we would make out in front of all the boys to tease them. And then I met Troy, and Troy was in a band. He played the guitar. He kind of looked like Vince Neil from Motley Crue, but he was made like Tommy Lee down there, which I liked a little bit too much because I got pregnant right out of high school. Yeah. And at 19 years old, my breast had shrunk 2 cup sizes. And honestly, before this happened, I don't even remember what my boobs looked like. But now they're smaller, they're saggier, and I become obsessed with women with really large breasts. So Troy and I are at a party where his band's playing, and I see Peggy from across the room. And she has long blonde hair and big, huge boobs, and I'm staring at her. She kind of looks like Reese Witherspoon in the face. And she comes over and sits down by me and starts talking to me, and we start kissing and making out and teasing all the boys, and it's driving my husband wild. Well, we continue to see Peggy at these house parties over and over again, and she knew I loved her big boobs, and she would tease me by pulling them out. She could lick her own nipples, so she'd pull them out in front of me and lick her own nipples. I'd be like, yes. So this night, it's Peggy's 21st birthday. I said, hey, Peggy, what do you want for your birthday? She said, Ginger, you know what? I want you. I want you, 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 but I don't want Troy. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, we've talked about this a little, but I always thought I'd be doing it with him. And she's like, it's my birthday. Can you just ask him and see what he says? So I go and ask my husband, and he says, all right, go ahead, babe, enjoy yourself. And I'll be downstairs if you two need any dick. Okay, so it's my first time getting past second base with a woman, and I'm nervous. So Peggy starts it by putting my hands on her breast. I'm feeling her breast, and she starts licking them, and then she makes her way down my body one soft, slow kiss at a time till she reaches there. And she starts to give me head, and within 3 minutes, I have an orgasm. This is my first orgasm from oral sex, by the way. Yeah. I'd already been married 4 years. So now it's my turn to go down on Peggy. And I'm down there and I'm getting no response. I have no idea what I'm doing. I hadn't even had an orgasm up until this point from oral sex. Like, I'm really bad at this. So I stop and I'm like, Peggy, I'm sorry. I am so bad at this. But you know what? So is my husband. So do you think we could ask him to come up here and you could teach us how to give head? She's like, yes, Ginger, go get him. So bring Troy upstairs and they take turns. She demonstrates, he returns the demonstration. I'm having a great time. And then Peggy grabs my hand and she puts her tongue to the tip of my finger and she says, this is how I want you to practice, Ginger, and she flicks it. Like, okay, Peggy, I'll practice. She's like, but make sure you apply pressure. Okay, I got that. So Peggy came back and visited us several times, but actually mainly when my husband was at work. So as time progressed, this relationship with Peggy really opened our minds. So my husband and I decided to join a swingers club in Kansas City called Club Nympho. Yeah. And that's where we met Karen and Butch. Now, Karen had long blonde hair and huge breast implants, and she looked like she could be jogging along the beach with Pamela Anderson. And her husband, Butch, kind of looked like George Costanza from Seinfeld, but the fit version. He's the fit version. My husband was instantly intrigued by her because she took a beer bottle from him and put the whole thing in her mouth all the way down and pulled it out and handed it back. And he's like, yes, I want to have sex with this girl. I was a little intimidated because her, like all the other women in the swingers club, had huge implants and I was pretty flat from having the baby. But we worked it out and we had a great sexy journey together. pretty soon my marriage wasn't working out. And I knew I had to be able to support my daughter, and my secretary's salary wasn't going to cut it, so I took a job as a stripper. And within 5 months, I had the money to buy myself some breast implants. And I remembered that Karen, out of everybody, had the best boobs I'd ever seen. So I called her up and I was like, "Karen, who's your doctor?" "Dr. Quinn, Ginger, go get him." I'm like, "Okay." So I went to Dr. Quinn and I got my breast implants, and that's when Cinnamon and Sugar were born. Yeah. And Cinnamon and Sugar gave me this great self-confidence that I didn't have before. And with that, I went and got a job at the most popular strip club in Kansas called The Outhouse. Yes. This place was popular because it was in a cornfield outside of city lines. And because it was outside of city lines, you could get a naked lap dance, you could bring your own booze, and you could touch the girls a little. So people came from all over. They'd chug their beer coolers in with them, and we'd run out of seats, and we'd actually give naked lap dances on top of beer coolers. So this night, I'm dancing for this super hot bachelor, and he looks like Superman. He's like buff and hot, and he likes me. His friends are buying him lap dances all night, and I'm hot naked grinding him, and I'm really getting turned on, and I ask him if he wants to fuck, and he's like, "Babe, you're beautiful, but I'm getting married next week. I just can't do it." And then I remember that Karen and Butch lived down the street from me. Actually, they lived down the street from my work. So I head over to their house. And this is going to be the first time they meet Cinnamon Sugar. And this is going to be my first unicorn experience. So as time progressed, the relationship with Karen and Butch faded. And I started traveling and dancing. I danced in New York and Miami and Las Vegas until I landed in New Orleans 1 year post-Katrina. And it was crazy there because there was construction workers from all over with huge wads of cash, and all their wives were in other states, so I was making crazy money. So I decided to go back to school and become a nurse. Yeah. And as my career in dancing came to an end, I realized a few things: that sexy is not determined by the size of my breast. Yeah. But actually by the confidence that I hold in myself when I walk in a room. So in the past year, I decided to explant. Yeah. And I feel amazing and free. And one of my friends said to me, "You know, I think this is an identity-changing procedure for you." And I thought about that after she said it. And you know what? When I was 20 years old, it was an identity-changing procedure. But at 40, it is not. I am confident in who I am. I feel sexy. I feel secure. And smaller breasts have not changed my sex life. And anyways, who needs Cinnamon and Sugar when you have Ginger Pie?
It's called the Glitter Song.
I'm a devastating diva with perfect pitch, a bona fide busty buxom badass bitch. But I drink too much, I party too hard, I woke up in my yard. I didn't take a cab cause I'm too cheap, I fell off my bike, I fell asleep. That's the best I can guess cause my memory's a mess, my neighbors don't seem very impressed. That's when it hit me in the morning light, under my clothes something wasn't right. I took a peek underneath, what did I find? Mystery glitter where the sun don't shine. Whose glitter, glitter is this? All over my clitoris. I've had a shower 25 times, I can't get the glitter off this vulva of mine. Whose glitter? Glitter, whose glitter is this? All over, all over. The place else. Glitter when I sneeze, glitter when I cough. It's been a couple weeks, I still can't get it off. I know what they say, now I know what they shout. Glitter is like herpes and I am breaking out. Glitter in my panties, glitter in my shoe. When I took a dump, there was glitter in my poo. Glitter on my clothes, on everything I've worn. I think I might have fucked a unicorn. Oh, and just to be clear with this crowd, I mean the mythical creature, not a third in a relationship. When I saw my reflection, I looked so good, like a diamond in the rough, with all these sparkles upon my mouth. It's itchy and it's scratchy, yeah, and it burns down below, but the glitter in my soul is like the glitter on my hole. This glitter is bliss all over my clitoris, cause I've had a shower 25 times, but I never want the glitter off this vulva of mine. I gotta have it, I gotta have it, now that I've tried. So tell me, where did that unicorn, where did that unicorn, where did that unicorn hide? I want to go for another ride. Shine bright like vagina. Shine bright like vagina. Shine bright like vagina. Beautiful vagines between our thighs. Shine bright like vagina. I'm glad you all remember this song. That's good. Shine bright like vagina. San Francisco, shine bright like a vagina.
Thank you.
That was The Glitter Song by Body's BFF, Shirley Gnome. Folks, I can't do this without you. I really need you to help support this podcast. If you go to patreon.com/body, patreon.com, and give it whatever level you can, I think that we can come back from this hiatus to bigger episodes. I think that we are going to be able to do what I really want to do, which is give you kind of a variety of stories, music, more. I want to give you more on this podcast, but I can't do it without your help. Please go to patreon.com/body and give it whatever level you can. Thanks in advance for your support. You know how I like to say that a live body storytelling is the culmination of me having a lot of bad ideas? Well, at the latest show, we were offering Sibian rides. And I will tell you, that will make the audience think, this is some good storytelling right here. All it takes is a couple of orgasms on a Sibian. So, I'm going to tell you about upcoming body storytellings. And guess what? The list is short because I'm about to go on hiatus. On July 11th in Seattle, the theme is Bottoms Up. True stories of anal, drinking, and or submission. Pick one or all. We've got Creature Hole as our musical act, and they're working on a new song for me, y'all. If you show up in person, you'll get to hear the song at the exact same moment I get to hear the song. That's the best. We get to experience it together, live theater and shit. And then that's our last show in Seattle for a long time. So please be at the July 11th show in Seattle. It's going to be a couple months before I get to see your face again. On July 18th in San Francisco, our last show before hiatus in San Francisco, the theme is All the Way. We're going to have our Win a Sibian contest continuing. We tried something new at a recent show, and it worked really well. So if you show up in person, you might end up on stage at the July 18th Body Storytelling in San Francisco. Wouldn't that be cool? On Saturday, July 27th, I'll be performing at the National Storytelling Summit's Showcase of the Best Stories of the Past Year. That's a huge honor, and I'm terrified. So I would love to see your face there. They have day passes. It's in Fremont, California, and you can find it by Googling National Storytelling Summit or by messaging me. I'm happy to connect you. And then that's it for a while. Maybe you'll be booking your trip to come to San Francisco for Folsom Street Fair. I've had so many people who've never heard of Folsom Street Fair, the largest kink event in the world. They've heard about it through the Body Storytelling Podcast, and they're like, well, you said it's good. So we're traveling from Texas and Vegas and places all over the country. Some people are coming in from Europe. And they're like, well, I know that Body's going to be there, so I can see Body that night. But I can also go to the world's largest kink street fair during the day and then enjoy my very first Body in San Francisco that night. That is a double whammy of weirdness. I highly recommend it if you're kinky, even if you're not kinky. The Folsom Street Fair is something you want to tick off your bucket list. I guarantee it. And that's it for upcoming shows for Body Storytelling. It's time to say thank you. Thank you to podcast producer Marty Garcia. Thank you to project manager Dana Hanna. Thank you to sound engineer David Grossoff. Thank you to video archivist Joe Moore. We're going to have some of Joe's work for you really soon. New videos are coming. And thank you to you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Every time that you mention the podcast, every time that you subscribe or write us a review or any of those things, it means that we are guaranteed to keep going. It means we'll grow, and it means that more people are going to feel okay with who they are in their skin. They're going to be happy with who they are, feel less judged, and you did that. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this has been episode 80 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. Here's Beaker, what's next?
Because this thing is fucking huge. Like, there's dick and then there's dick. Like, sometimes it's not a dick you want every day. It's like prime rib.